You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, your favorite pop and geek culture show where intros are hard, but we're going to give it our best shot anyway. I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
Hey.
Okay, you go.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Cody.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, plus a spoiler-free review of Wonder Woman. But first, let's get into some things we've been checking out. I mean, I can go ahead and go if no one else is jumping, at it. Okay, well, I had the chance to check out, along with Wonder Woman, the other superhero-based movie that was released in the past week. I had a chance to watch Captain Underpants, and it's super cute. I don't know how else to describe it. It was, for those who don't know, Captain Underpants was a children's book series done by a guy named Dave Pickley, or Peekley. Guy's based out of Ohio. The movie's actually set in Piqua, which is
nice.
Which is the same as the book. And it's just a nice little kids movie. There's really nothing deep going on with it, although it does have deeper themes of allowing yourself to be a kid, and happiness is kind of, you know, just in the way you perceive your surroundings. You know, you can make happiness out of whatever. Which was also themes of the book for the most part.
Like being a giant bald man in underwear?
Well, the whole difference between being the meanest principal on planet Earth and the giddiest superhero was just a slight tweak in perspective, I guess.
Like, watching the trailer, his speech pattern kind of reminded me of The Tick.
Yeah, very much so. And that is very, very fitting. Ed Helms is the voice of Captain Underpants, the titular captain.
The good captain.
The good captain. And everybody does a really, really good job in the film. What's his name? Kevin Hart wasn't distracting as George Beard, one of the two kids. Like, they pitched his voice up just a little bit. And you could tell he was also trying to put on like a little kid voice a little bit. And it, between the two, it fit. It fit the character. Like I said, Ed Helms was Captain Underpants, and he was, you know, overblown as, you know, a stereotypical superhero kind of bravado kind of
thing. Thanks, citizen!
Yeah, a lot like that, yeah.
Tra-la-la!
Like that.
Wow, that was really good.
Yeah. Thanks. Years of practice.
They could have hired you.
They could have, yeah. So when they do the direct-to-DVD sequel...
Yeah, Captain Underpants gets glasses.
Yeah, there we go. I'm right there. I'm in. Yeah. See, they had Nick Kroll as Professor Poopy Pants, which is great.
Which is his name.
Which is his actual name. Yeah, the whole plot of it is what they did was they took the first three books and they kind of mashed them all together into this to tell one big long story. And Professor Poopy Pants is the main antagonist once we get over the hump that – where the principal is the main antagonist, and his whole deal is he wants to shrink the section of children's brains that causes laughter because he's tired of everyone laughing at his name. it's simple.
Which is Professor Poopy Pants.
It is Professor Poopy Pants.
I mean, easily go to a courthouse and have it legally changed.
Well,
but
where's
whatever.
The fun? Where's the fun in that?
Yeah, you got. And where's your childlike wonder, Josh? Yeah. Come on.
Maybe he's very, very proud of his family name,
yeah,
which happens to be Poopy Pants.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so he makes a giant robot that looks like a toilet? Okay.
Well, he actually doesn't make the giant robot that looks like a toilet. The class Tattletale and Super Nerd builds the toilet. Professor Poopy Pants just uses his enlarger ray to make it big.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
A big poopy pot.
Yeah, the Turbo Toilet 2000. Yeah, this is the level of joke that you'll be getting in this film, but it's
true to the book.
It's very true to the book. It even it featured the fliporama, which was a big feature of all the books, like the flip book, actions. Like instead of having action scenes, you know, the two kids pop up and say, "Hey, you know, these action scenes, these are pretty gruesome, violent stuff." So instead, we have the Flipperama. So it's the kids using a flipbook for the action scenes, and that was pretty for at least one of them. That was pretty funny.
I think every Captain Underpants book I've read, I read standing in a bookstore.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, they're very easy reads.
Yeah. I mean, which isn't a slight against them or anything, but I just picked them up and flipped through them in a bookstore.
Oh yeah, yeah. They really set it up for sequels, and I hope they get it at least one more.
Hey, if the Boss Baby can get a sequel,
yeah, that's very true.
The Boss Baby's getting a sequel.
Oh yeah.
It made like a bajillion dollars.
Of course, it's getting a sequel. Yeah. But no, I really, really enjoyed Captain Underpants, and it does have a decent story. The animation was really nice. I think I haven't done the research, but I'm pretty sure it's the same production house that did the Peanuts movie because it looked really similar.
Mm.
But they also flashed in different kinds of animation. At one point, there's a dream sequence where they're all sock puppets, like nice. Live action sock puppets. And there were a couple other things here and there. But, yeah, just really, really well done.
I love that we're finally getting to the point where CG movies are starting to look like cartoons instead of looking like weird
mishmash
mannequins.
Yeah. But if you have time at a matinee, check it out. It's fun, especially if you have little kids, because there's nothing – there's, like, pranks and, like, kind of – I don't want to say crude humor, but there's, like, little – very strict parents might not – appreciate some of the pranks that are being pulled in the film, but it's all in good fun, and I think it is lighthearted and kid-friendly enough that it would be good for any kid. Plus, there's enough jokes in it for adults. Like the elementary school, this was the same as the book, but the elementary school was called Jerome Horwitz Elementary. Do you know who Jerome Horwitz was?
No.
It's Curly from the Three Stooges.
Oh.
That was his real name.
No.
So you're getting that kind of level of joke, and... You know, they show it in the trailer, but the joke lands in the film as well, which is surprising. The scene where Captain Underpants sees a street mime and he's like, oh no, citizen, you're trapped inside an invisible box, and like clocks him to break him out. And I didn't think the joke was going to land because it's in all the commercials, but it totally, it worked. It was fine. It was fun.
I must be watching different trailers because I never saw that in the trailers.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
I vaguely remember it.
Yeah.
Best movie you'll see all year with a character named Professor Poopy Pants.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Also, I'm just trying to see how many times I can say Poopy Pants.
Poopy Pants. Yeah, we don't get to say this often on this. Yeah.
Gosh. I guess I'm getting that part of my brain shrunk because I'm laughing at Poopy Pants.
Yeah. Well, other than that, I really haven't had a chance to do much of much. Who's next?
I got the Ratchet and Clank like remake because I got it for like $9 on GameFly or something.
Oh, that's worth it.
And yeah, it's definitely worth it. It's fun. It's a lot, well, not a lot different than the regular version, but different enough to where it feels like playing something else. I don't get it for cheap, like. I feel like a lot of the cutscenes, I'm just watching parts of the movie, but I haven't seen the movie, so I can't verify that or not.
Okay. I watched the movie. It was all right.
The biggest fault with everything Ratchet and Clank is that they think Captain Quark is a lot funnier than he actually is.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
But, I mean, it's just pretty good. Where else are you going to get a 3D platformer this day and age that's not ukulele?
Yeah, very true. Oh, did you see, by the way, Ukulele, did you see that they're working on the Switch version?
Thank God. That's where I want to play. That's why I haven't played it, is because I want the Switch version.
Same here, yeah. So, no, the devs tweeted out a picture of it running on one of their dev kits here the other day. So, yeah.
Nice.
It's coming.
I'm just excited because I saw they finally officially announced Sonic Mania is going to be on Switch.
I thought they did.
Yeah, I thought that
Not originally.
I guess originally it was Forces, wasn't it, was on Switch?
Hey, I'll play Mania on Switch, too. That's cool.
Yeah. I'll get Mania on wherever it comes out first that I can get to it.
Well, what about Sonic OC Generator, a.k.a. Sonic Forces?
Oh, I want that, too. I can't wait to play with that character creator. It's
gonna
be a good
just make
time.
Some, make some real monsters.
It's going to make for a great monster factory.
Oh, it
yeah.
is.
Oh, yeah.
They've already said that they're going to do it.
That's excellent. Did you say you also played a little bit more of Mass Effect?
Yeah.
I know we talked about it last week, but...
Yeah, I've put at least a couple more hours into it, and I still really like it. Mm. People were way too hard on it. Like, way, way too hard.
Well, do you think maybe people were... Like, your play experience is different from most other folks because they jumped in on it before all of the patching and the fixing?
I don't know how much patching they've done. Has it been a ton? Or?
Yeah, it was a ton.
Oh.
It was quite a bit.
Well, that's probably why. That probably has a lot to do with it. But I've heard that the gameplay is not good, too, but it's fine. Everything feels like Mass Effect to me. I don't know.
Well, how would you compare it to, like, No Man's Sky?
Because
a lot of people were comparing that to...
It's nothing like No Man's Sky.
Because it's done?
because there's, like, gameplay.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like No Man's Sky. I like No Man's Sky just fine. But I didn't get caught up in the hype on that one. So I went in there with expecting nothing, you know, with no big expectations and enjoyed what I got. And I came into Mass Effect expecting it to be garbage and to hate it and thinking that it's actually pretty good.
Maybe that's the trick to enjoying everything, is that you have to go in expecting everything to suck and then be pleasantly surprised when it doesn't.
When it's not garbage.
Yeah. Because we're about ready to talk about Wonder Woman, I think. And I don't know. That seems like also part of why I think we might have enjoyed it so very, very much, other than it being just an excellent film. Before we jump into that, Josh, do you have anything that you checked out?
Well, I really didn't check out anything other than... Nature.
Ah.
Hey, nature's cool.
Yeah, nature's cool.
Well.
Except for the bugs.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't really deal with many bugs. It really wasn't that bad.
Mm. We were doing gardening the other day, and I just got eaten alive by mosquitoes. It sucked.
Well, you know, what did suck, didn't it?
Literally. Poopy pants.
Drag, you got me. Pretty sneaky, Cody. Slipping in that poopy pants.
So anyway, you were in the wilderness. Was it just for your own health or benefit, or was there a reason
sort
behind
of.
It?
Were you running from the police?
I mean, honestly, if I was going to run from the police, I wouldn't do it through nature.
Yeah.
No, I as we are now in the warm seasons, that means LARP season. So AmpGuard, the LARP chapter I'm part of, or live action role playing, if you want to call it, even though we're very light on the actual role-playing part, the local kingdom areas, we're doing our thing. We have crap ton of events, like a lot. But the last 2 weeks, I've gone to 2 events every weekend. We had...
Wow.
Yeah, we had Valhalla in Springfield.
Okay.
Which was during Labor Day weekend. Memorial Day.
Memorial Day.
Sorry.
Yeah. Everybody died.
Yeah.
Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
And, it was good. It stormed really bad Friday night, but then it was just hot and humid the rest of the time.
Mm.
But it was a good time. Archery tournaments, running around the woods, being stupid, hitting people.
Nice, nice.
Eating foods and doing lots of drinking, because that's what we do.
Sure, yeah.
And then last weekend was our Kingdom Midrain, and the Kingdom of the Rising Winds is what we are, is Illinois.
That sounds like a fart joke.
I was going to say...
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
The Kingdom of the Breaking Winds.
Yeah.
We're also called the Dumpster Fire of the United States. online. Rising Winds is Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, a little bit of southern Michigan, a little bit of northern Kentucky, and a little bit of West Virginia.
Mm.
Got a lot of stuff going on. But we had our mid-rain, and rains typically last about 6 months.
Mm.
And
it's a lot of water.
It's a lot of... Yeah, a lot of rain. Deal some flooding.
I mean, it did do that around here, but...
Yes. That's been my other check it out, is that my basement flooded. But anyway, let's continue.
You and the rest of the town.
Yeah.
I saw pictures. It was nuts.
It was bad. It was bad.
It was a big event. I wish there would have been more fighting in the wooded area that we have for the campground for this event, which is like 2 hours away, versus Springfield, which is like an hour away.
Okay.
But it was so hot.
Mm.
It was, like, oppressively hot.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Like, no cloud cover, and all the battle games took place in open fields with very little shade.
Yeah, that would... And you're wearing how many pounds of armor?
40.
40.
It was rough. At one point, I had to stop and, like, peel everything off and just drench myself in water.
Wow.
Luckily, I was staying in a cabin, and I just stood in front of an air conditioner for, like, 20 minutes, and I felt great.
There we go. There we go. Cool.
But it was a good time.
Yeah.
A friend of mine got his – finally got his way overdue Master Dragon, which is an award awarded for art.
Okay. All right.
We have different categories of things.
I see.
Sword for war skills, dragon for art, things like that.
Okay.
Comes a time in every young boy's life when they
master the dragon.
Oh, Lord. It's always a big moment into adulthood.
And then another friend of mine achieved knighthood.
Mm.
And we had a very nice ceremony, and it was, you know, I'm really proud of him. He's been playing the game ever since he was 14.
Wow. How old is he now?
Younger than me. He's probably like 23.
So almost a decade. That's still really impressive.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
Yeah. He achieved Knight of the Sword.
Okay.
Because he's very good at the fighting.
Good. Cool.
It was a lot of fun. It was a good time. Food was good. Food was really good, actually.
Mm, cool.
It's always just a good time. You get a couple hundred people together and just hang out.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
In the woods and field.
Yeah.
I really wish it would have been in the woods. The woods they have there are nice, and plus shade.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
So did you win? Did you win the LARP? Are you winning?
No, actually, I think every
team. Did you get all the points, sport?
Are you winning, son?
No, every team. I think I'm pretty sure every team I was on failed.
Well, did you have fun?
Oh yeah, I had lots of fun.
Well, then that's what's
all
important.
That matters.
Oh yeah, I had lots of fun. we had a lot of games where my fighting company could come together as a group and actually get to play together, which is something rare for us because a lot of our people either can't come for various reasons via work or something, or they're actually like assisting the events,
right?
In a various different aspects, but it's good because my fighting company focuses primarily on group squad tactics. So,
there you go.
Good times for us.
Sounds like it. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's pretty much all I did. It was hit people with foam sticks and
in the field.
In the field.
Excellent.
Yep.
Well, cool. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a couple minutes and get into our spoiler-free review of Wonder Woman. Like, we're going to go and not talk about any... I know we usually go into, like, light spoilers on stuff. This time we're not going to, because everyone should go see this movie.
Yeah, just go see the movie.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good movie.
About that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You haven't seen it
yet. Well, you can talk about it next week, probably.
Yeah.
More than likely.
Go see it.
Yeah, Josh.
It's amazing. I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
I would have, but I was...
In the woods, hitting people with foam swords. Yeah,
During the week, I...
Work.
I work, and I've slept.
Sure. No, I understand. But no, Wonder Woman, it's...
Skip your job.
Skip your job, see Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah. No, it was really enjoyable. You know, I am a big man, and I will admit when I'm wrong.
Yeah, we were all wrong.
We were all wrong about this movie. Yeah, we kind of gave this movie a little more guff than we probably should have. In our defense, trailers didn't look great. There was almost no advertising for it, which was not a good sign. And DC Warner's track record was not stellar.
No.
Has not been stellar. Having said that...
And that's being nice.
Yeah, that's being very nice. I am so happy to be wrong.
Yeah. If I was going to be wrong about something, this was the thing that I would want to be wrong about.
Yeah. So, what were some of your highlights for the film? Not getting into spoilers.
All of it.
I really liked the stuff in the first 20, 30 minutes on Themyscira.
Yeah, that was
was really good. Robin Wright was awesome. She was the trainer. She's not I originally thought she was Queen Hippolyta. It's not the case.
She's Wonder Woman's aunt.
Aunt and like super like the best fighter like on the island. Super, super great. Robin Wright was Princess Buttercup in Princess Bride and Jenny. She was Jenny in Forrest Gump.
Jenny.
Yeah.
That movie I've still yet to see.
Oh, Forrest Gump is very good. You should see that movie. The book had a podcast.
The book is garbage, but the movie's
not great. But no, if only we had a podcast where you could watch movies that you haven't seen before that everyone else has. If only.
If only there was a new episode coming out soon.
Soon. Yeah, soon. Very soon, actually. She did an excellent job.
It's not Forrest Gump.
Though,
that might made it sound like the episode's Forrest Gump. It's not.
It's not Forrest Gump. It should have been Forrest Gump. Anyway, she did a good job. I think Gal Gadot or Gal Gadot.
It's Gadot.
Okay.
Yeah, Gadoon.
I've heard it both ways. So, yeah. Anyway.
Whoever said Gadot was very wrong.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she did a very good job. I almost think that her comedic timing was as good, if not just a tiny bit better than her, like, dramatic, like, trying to deliver serious lines.
All the fish out of water stuff was
but that
so
was super
good
great.
And so funny.
Super great.
And they did it without making her look like a doofus.
Yeah. It was really, really well done. I think Chris Pine was more was Shatnering it up more here than he was in the Star Trek movies.
Yeah,
I think he was more Captain Kirk.
He made Steve Trevor not boring.
Yeah,
any kind of Wonder Woman content I've come in contact with, whenever Steve Trevor is on the screen, I'm just like, you are boring. I don't care about you. Like, stop focusing on this guy. He sucks.
Yeah.
Bring back Wonder Woman, please.
Yeah. Steve Trevor was good. His band of other guys,
they were all interesting.
They were all very interesting and well-rounded characters.
Yeah, they all had reasons for being there and backstories and stuff.
Yeah. It was really, really well done.
More than Suicide Squad.
Oh, God, yeah. Way more than Suicide Squad. I liked how a good portion of this movie was not grayscale or muted tones.
Yeah.
I mean, the majority of it was, but there was a good portion of this movie where you could actually see colors.
Like, Themyscira was super sunny.
Yeah.
Greek, you know, Mamma Mia looking.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, because of the setting, the World War I setting, I can give the muted color palette of the rest of the world a pass.
Yeah.
Plus, it helped make the Lasso of Truth really, really shine out and really draw your attention. Like, that was excellent.
The No Man's Land scene. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get spoilery.
Yeah, we're not getting spoilers. I'm not going to talk anymore.
That was a super high point of the movie.
That was probably the highest point of the movie.
Which I heard that Patty Jenkins, the director, had to fight for that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad she won that one.
Warner.
Because that's, yeah.
It's the highest point of the film.
It really is.
It really shows you what Diana's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there are a couple things that I did have a little bit of have trouble with.
Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect, but
no.
It's one of the best superhero movies that has come out.
Definitely
in, like,
one of the better ones, absolutely.
Four or 5 years, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I would say since the original first wave of Marvel things, like, I would put this up near the first Captain America. I mean, it's an easy comparison because it's, you know, partial
war
movie. War
movies, yeah.
But I think it's up there.
I will say I did fall asleep during the first Captain America, and I did not fall asleep during this movie.
Well, that's good. That's good. some complaints I had. The twist, again, not getting into spoilers, the twist I figured out immediately.
Yeah, it didn't have a whole lot of impact.
As soon as there was a particular character that is introduced, well, as soon as the character pops up on screen, I'm like, okay, I know the third act. I know what's happening. I know how this movie is going to end. And right down the line, it ended exactly the way I thought it was going to end.
The third act was definitely the weakest.
Yeah. It
was very by the numbers.
It devolves into a CGI mess there near the end, the way most superhero movies do these days.
Yeah, it turned into a very textbook superhero movie ending at the end.
This, you know, I was thinking about this last night. This is the most Marvel DC film that they've made. For
better than the Marvel ones.
For better or worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it has something that a lot of the Marvel movies, especially anymore, don't have.
It does until the third act. The third act is basically just the third act of any Marvel movie.
Felt like it had more weight than any of the Marvel movies do, though.
All the way up until and through the No Man's Land, I would 100% agree with you. That last 20 minutes or so just kind of, it was good, it was fine, but it didn't have quite the weight that I think if we would have gotten more of the No Man's Land stuff, that's what I would have liked to see, honestly. But, you know.
It actually had, like, a good message.
It does,
a good
yes.
part and good, a good message.
Well, sure, it does.
Wonder Woman was actually a heroic hero.
Yes, the first for the DC movies.
Yeah, she wants to help people.
Is a superhero that is doing superheroic things.
Inspiring hope in others.
Yeah.
Wanting to help people no matter the cost.
Yeah. Anything else that I want to discuss with this film would get into spoilers, so I can't really get into it. But go see it. Go see the movie.
Yeah, 100% go see this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And if this is the direction that DC and Warner is going to take starting now at this point and moving forward with their superhero films, I'm in.
Yeah,
I heard that they're doing 3 months of reshoots for Justice League, and I'm hoping
of course they are
making it Wonder Woman and Friends.
That's hope.
Yeah. Oh, same here. Warner Brothers seems like they're trying to right the ship a little bit. They got really, really off track with Man of Steel wasn't great. Batman versus Superman was really not great. But if this is them course correcting, you know.
Yeah, at least they've seen it work now. They seem to listen to just where the money goes.
Yeah.
And the money went here.
And by being better and by showing that they can also put out a quality product, it's going to force Marvel to be a little more innovative with their films. Because I think that's one of the biggest problems the Marvel movies have had, especially since the first Avengers movie, is that they have been treading water because they have no competition.
Yeah.
You know, they can get away with putting out a 7.5 or an 8, you know, an 8 or a 7.5 or a 7 out of 10 film because, you know, who are they going to go up against?
Yeah, Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad?
And, like, I'm starting to get tired of Marvel's movies, honestly.
Because they've all been the same.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to be different. They know they're going to make the money. Again, if they have healthy competition, would not hurt the superhero genre of films, I don't think.
I mean, Guardians was good, but there was just something, it just felt the same again.
It was very much like the first. I really enjoyed Guardians 2.
It was a really good movie, but there was just something that kept it from being an
amazing
like,
movie.
Yeah, what it could have been, I guess.
You know, I'm not. I don't know if I thought it was really good, but you know, whatever. But yeah, like I said, healthy competition is only going to be a good thing for both sides, and ultimately for the viewer. I don't know.
Yeah, in the sea of superhero films. You know, we need something fresh and new because I tell you, I'm getting burned out.
Yeah.
As much as I love comics and as much as I love superheroes.
Oh, there's burnout. Sure.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, especially with as many movies as they've been putting out a year now.
Yeah.
I'm just like, whew.
Instead of spacing them out and trying to keep it kind of a special thing, they know that the genre is eventually going to reach critical mass. So they're just trying to pump out as many as they possibly can, and that's only causing the burnout to go quicker.
I mean, come on. Spider-Man comes out next month.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, Spider-Man is next month.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, it looks like a Marvel movie.
And,
yeah.
And Ragnarok, I think, is August.
Now, Ragnarok, I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That, I'm in for that
one. I still can't believe they put Tony Stark on the poster for Spider-Man.
Yeah, that was a bad decision. On Marvel or Sony, you know, I'm not quite sure which. I don't know.
It's probably an A and a B.
Yeah.
A little column A, a little column B.
Yeah. Any bad decision made with Spider-Man Homecoming, I'm chalking up to Sony.
Sony.
let's be honest. Because who has the track record of making poor decisions with Spider-Man?
I still can't believe they want to do a Venom movie with no Spider-Man connection.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me. The same, they also want to do a Sinister Six movie with no Spider-Man influence, which is crazy. It's like having it's all of Batman's rogues with no mention of Batman at all.
It's like, so like Gotham kind of.
Yeah. And you see how well that yeah. does. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news. Hey, we're back. That was the theme song to the old 1970s Wonder Woman TV series.
Which is still a great show.
It's a great show and a good song. No matter what anyone thinks. Josh.
I don't call me out on that. You villains.
You said that the Wonder Woman theme was, quote, boring.
Well, kind of is.
It's not. It's classic.
Yeah. It's very much a 70s TV show theme song.
It is very good.
Yeah.
Anyway, also, news.
Also has fun animation to it go does. Along with it.
Yeah, definitely.
Very Super Friends.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we have a little bit of news to go over. First up is a little bit of Pokemon news. There was a Direct.
Yeah, one of the live stream things that Nintendo does.
Yeah.
This time Pokemon Company did one.
Mm-hmm. And it was
overwhelmingly boring.
It wasn't great. It super wasn't great. It was only 8 minutes long, but it felt like an hour.
Yeah, because they always want to do like these live action trailers. Now, ever since the Pokemon Go one was such a success, they do these crappy live action trailers that are like
trying to tell this crazy narrative or whatever
about some dude backpacking across Asia to meet his brother and play Pokemon with him.
Yeah. But not Pokemon, Pokken Tournament.
Yeah.
The fighting game version.
Which, this is how they announced that it was coming to the Switch.
Which was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Because that game came out late in the Wii U life cycle anyway, so you knew it was going to end up on the Switch.
Yeah. It still has life in it. They added a bunch of characters to the arcade version that the Wii U version never got.
The Wii U version never got, but the arcade versions got 4 of the 5. Because the arcades were updated pretty regularly. The one that no version has gotten yet was Decidueye, the owl from Sun and Moon.
I thought for a second when I saw it was Hawkalucha.
Oh, that would be great.
Which should be.
It would fit.
In the game.
Yeah.
Hopefully they add more characters, though, because that's not...
Regular updates would... Yeah, the idea that that game does not have regular updates is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Because the original base game only had, like, one or two arenas, and it only had, like, a handful of fighters.
Like, and maybe 9.
And that was basically... Well, no, it had, like, 12 or something like that.
No,
16. It had 16. There were a bunch that were unlocked that I never got to.
Yeah, I played the game 3 times and never went back.
Yeah.
See, I don't know why.
I'll probably pick it up because I'm a Pokemon mark and a fighting game mark, so.
As long as one of us gets it, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's fun to play.
In a party style environment. Yeah.
But the single...
Pikalucha is best character.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
The single player left something to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agreed. Yep, totally agreed.
Hey, you can totally customize your trainer.
Yeah, I could put some cartoon glasses and a sweet hat on generic anime boy. I don't know. Along with that trailer, they also snuck in a shot or two of the updated version of Sun and Moon, which is the Gen 7 game.
Yeah. Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
Super lazy naming convention
to
go with a super lazy game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Sun and Moon again, but the story is a little different, and they didn't say how.
My guess is that they finished the game. This is basically just the game that Sun and Moon was supposed to be, but they pushed out 6 months early. Because that fourth island in Pokemon Sun and Moon was non-existent. Did you ever get to it?
That's where I stopped playing.
Yeah. Josh, did you ever get to it?
Nope.
There is nothing on that island. There are no trials. Well, no, there's one trial, there's only one town, the rest of it is just boring maps. That's it. In fact, the other trial captains or trainers or whatever, every island has, you know, they have their own trials or whatever. And you get to that island, and there's a couple of trial captains on that island who just give you their special rock.
Just give it, here you go, hey, you made it.
One of them's a painter, and she goes, well, I'm too busy painting, so here you go. You win. That's it. It was super, the ending.
How hard would it have been to at least put a Pokemon battle in there? Be like, okay, she's got these 4.
Yeah.
Because they never have the full group.
I mean, to be fair, you end up fighting her during the epilogue, like the post-game, the weird, chintzy post-game content that made no sense and came out of nowhere. Yeah, it looks like this is the finished version of the previous games, and I'm not going to get it.
Yeah, I never get the one they sell after they sell the main ones. Like, yeah. I never played Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. I never played Black and White 2, yeah. And I don't feel like I've missed anything.
You see, I played Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire quite a bit. Actually, that's the one version of the game that I finished the decks completely, 100%.
Caught them all.
Which is something you can't do in Sun and Moon because the decks doesn't have a national deck. So if it's not natively found in the game, you can catch it. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to add anything to your, you know, your total score. So
I
bet it will now. And that's that's fine. I think the biggest problem with Ultra Sun and Moon is that it is not a dual 3DS and Switch release. I think they're really, really dropping the ball on it with this one.
Yeah. I think anywhere else this would have been a DLC or a content update.
Yeah.
But because it's Pokemon, they'll slap a...
They'll put it in a cart and sell it at full price.
Yeah.
For an update. Yeah. Again, I think the future of Nintendo's handheld market is the Switch. If they were going to build a console that is both portable and a home console, then they need to treat it as both a portable and a home console. They need to put their portable games on the Switch. Don't.
If this announcement had included, oh yeah, Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon are on the Switch, then I would have been excited.
Yeah.
But it didn't, and it was just full of old games being re-released.
Pretty much. That's what this whole event was a bunch of old games being re-released. The other announcement was the second-gen Pokemon games, Gold and Silver, but not Emerald, oddly enough.
Huh.
No, weird. Crystal. Or Crystal, yeah. That's what it is. They're getting re-released as virtual console, like the first Red, Blue, and Yellow were. And they'll have connectivity to the Pokemon Bank, so you can get your little guys up to the newer games. And that's fine. Yeah, Gen 2...
I mean, that's cool. Gen 2 is my favorite.
Gen 2 is pretty great, and that game had the whole bonus content of going to the first Gen's islands after you beat the game, so there's infinitely more content for those games. It's just not that exciting.
No.
They could have tweeted a couple of pictures from the official Pokemon Twitter account.
Yeah.
And it would have served the same purpose.
Instead of making me watch an 8-minute long mini movie that was...
Spending a bunch of money on a 8-minute mini movie. Like, I don't know. If they're going to have a direct, make it interesting, make it worthwhile. And I don't know why they couldn't wait a week and put this out during E3.
Pokemon Company never does E3.
Yeah, but why not start?
Yeah. They're too big. They're bigger than E3. It's Pokemon.
Yeah, well, if they're so much bigger than E3, this trailer doesn't... Yeah. This direct that they held doesn't show it, you know? It's just...
Oh, that trailer, with the live-action bits in that trailer were so boring.
Oh, so bad. It was really bad.
I know they want to like show that Pokemon is a community and that it brings people together, and it's like, we get that. You know, we got that in the 60 other of these trailers you've done.
Yeah.
Do better.
Yeah, do better job. Come on, Pokemon.
the freaking Pokédex in Sun and Moon looks like the Switch. Why isn't it on the Switch?
Yeah. Well, I still think they're eventually going to announce the next gen is going to be on the Switch, the Stars or whatever.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of rumors and things about that where it takes place. It's a sequel to Sun and Moon set about 10 years later, and you go to... But it's set in Kanto, but it features a lot of the characters from Sun and Moon.
Huh.
Which, given the ending to Sun and Moon, makes sense.
Even though
you haven't gotten there, so I'm not going to go any further. But yeah, given the ending that it does, it makes a little bit of sense. I'm just underwhelmed. I think that's the best way to describe it for me. Is just underwhelmed.
It was a snooze fest.
Yeah, definitely not worth rushing around trying to find a way to watch it at 10 a.m.
Yeah,
for 8 minutes of nothing. Anyway, speaking of Pokemon stuff, there's some other Pokemon Go news, I guess. They're doing, it's like your year anniversary or something like that.
Yeah, they're doing a big multiplayer update, I guess, to the point where they're shutting down the gyms.
Good. They need to be fixed.
Yeah, because they're not fun.
No, I don't do them because they are no fun.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't use the app super often anymore.
No, I haven't opened it in a long time, yeah. But still, I mean, it's still, I still think it's a good game.
It's a good game, yeah.
It has a lot of flaws that could easily be fixed.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'll crack it open every once in a while if I'm walking around and need something to distract myself with while I'm walking.
If they revamp the entire battle system, mm-hmm. I'd definitely be interested in checking it out again.
Trading would be nice.
Yeah.
Trading would be nice.
They've promised that since it's come out, and they haven't.
Peer-to-peer battling would be very nice.
Yeah.
If they could fix the speed tracker on the app, that would be great, because I used to open it up when I would bike and get miles that way. Not only do I bike too fast, at times I run too fast. It thinks I'm in a moving vehicle, and it locks me out.
It's a little overzealous.
Just a little tiny bit. And I understand they're trying to be, like, with the safety and whatever, but I don't know.
I miss that golden age of Pokemon Go when, like, everybody and their brother was playing it.
Oh, man.
So cool. And you could just run into groups of people.
It was so cool.
Oh, yeah, like a month ago? Yeah, or a year ago. For about a month.
A year ago. Yes.
That's what I meant to say.
It was so cool to see that many people out.
Oh, yeah. And you could hear people, there's a Squirtle over there. There's a Squirtle over there.
Oh, yeah. One afternoon, I went down to High Banks, and there were just roving bands of Pokemon trainers. In fact, I remember there was this one group of older guys in front of me just walking, and one of them was just going, man, I don't know, why the hell are we walking around a woods and, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday and all this stuff, just talking back and forth. 5 seconds later, one of them goes, there's a squirtle over there, and they all take off running. So and it was great. It was like the whole like dichotomy of like, I'm too old for this. No, I'm not.
I need this digital make-believe monster.
Yeah.
Like, nothing like that will ever happen again.
No.
It was so weird and such a...
interesting time.
And
then they ruined it.
It was beautiful.
And then they ruined it and pushed everyone away.
By not fixing things fast enough and not...
and getting rid of the tracker.
Yeah.
And I don't know... but the fixed tracker is actually kind of nice, because now if you're close to stops, the tracker area will show you mons that are close to like the stops, and it pulls up the picture that is associated with that stop.
Yeah.
That's pretty helpful as long as you're near things.
Yeah.
When you're not, it's just kind of take a guess.
That's basically the whole game though. If you're not near something,
then
yeah.
But, you know, I still think it's a fun game. Like I said, I'll crack it open every now and again. And I think if they were, what they really need is one really, really good event to bring everyone out.
And fix the battles.
Yeah, they definitely need to do that. Speaking of one big event, aren't they doing like a something in Chicago?
In Chicago, I forget the exact day.
Yeah.
It's sometime this month, though. It wasn't as far away as you would think.
Mm.
They would announce something like this, but they're doing Pokemon Go Fest in a park in Chicago. And I'm sure, I'm almost 100% positive that's going to be the first time they unleash a legendary Pokemon.
More than likely, yeah. Yeah.
So if you want a legendary, you know, drive to Chicago.
Yeah. So do you think that it'll match their live action trailer from when Mewtwo was in Times Square and everyone was battling it at the same time? Or
it'll probably be similar in concept, but it's not. Nothing is ever going to be as cool as that trailer was.
That trailer was so hype. It was so rad. Yeah.
It basically had everyone convinced that Pokemon was going to be real in 6 months.
The scientists have cracked the genetic code. They have made real, live, actual Pokemon.
Isn't that what Mewtwo fought against?
Yeah, that was the whole... yeah, well, yes.
That whole trailer was so good that it made people's expectations for the game way too high.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Why isn't this exactly like Pokemon but real life? Like, I don't know, because that's impossible.
Yeah.
I don't know what they can do to fix the battle system, though, because they can't make it exactly like the game.
No, they can't do that.
Because that'll eat into sales of the game.
Yeah.
But they can't keep it the way it is now because
it's garbage.
Broken and it's not fun.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
You know, almost just having two Pokemon show up and it automatically choosing a winner or a loser is more fun than what they have now.
Just look at base stats and...
yeah, just doing that would be more fun than whatever it is now.
Base stats and type advantage, and then you're done, and that's it. yeah. I don't know.
Because now it's like tap and swipe and hold, and it doesn't react in time.
Yeah,
and...
if you have any kind of connectivity issues, it'll just lock you out, and yeah.
But I'll be excited for how they find that solution.
Oh yeah, I'll check that out. Sure, why not? I mean, it's free.
It maybe
doesn't cost anything. So,
turn-based battles, but you only have two moves.
That would be cool. Still, I think it might take a little too long if you're supposed to be like walking around and stuff.
That's true.
They want something that goes just kind of quick. I think maybe the matchups like you mentioned that would probably work. Well, hey, talking about Nintendo stuff, they broke ground in Japan on Super Nintendo World.
The Universal Studios theme park attraction.
Mm-hmm. Excited.
Yeah. There's a little video that shows it's a bunch of CG stuff. It just looks like Mario. You're walking around Mario Land, which is awesome.
It's great. I mean, it's in Japan, so I will probably never see it.
Although it's coming to Orlando, too.
Well, yeah.
They're both getting one.
Yeah.
I don't know the time frame on the American one. The Japan one's supposed to be open by 2020.
Okay.
And they have guaranteed a Mario Kart ride.
Perfect. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's, like, one of the most, like, I don't want to say boring, but, like...
Easy
Mario things to do.
That's a layup. That's a layup idea.
Like you could go to Magic Mountain and probably have a very similar experience.
More than likely, yeah.
I mean, I've thought about it.
It's like, oh, we got Mario Golf, and then they just put in a golf course.
Oh yeah, a little putt-putt place. Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. That'd be kind of cool, actually.
I'd be down for
a Mario putt-putt.
Oh, Mario putt-putt. Yeah.
Oh man, that'd be so good.
Yeah, that'd be rad.
The Mario Slugger's batting cage.
Yeah. But it'd be worth it for me just to like walk around the Mario themed area.
Are you kidding? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You know there'd be a restaurant that is built up to look like the castle at the end of like stage 1-1 in Mario.
Oh, they'll probably have Peach's Castle in there.
Peach's Castle, yeah, yeah.
They could do a whole Disney thing.
They could. Well, if they treat it similar to the way they treated the magical world of the wizarding world of Harry Potter, because that park down in Florida, I went there last year and it is phenomenal, like unbelievably good. You can go inside of Hogwarts. Like there's a ride inside of Hogwarts and it is super great.
What rides would you most want at Super Nintendo World? Also, Pokemon is probably not part of the deal.
Probably not. This is we're talking first party Nintendo license, so there's got to be a Zelda thing, right?
Yeah, but what would you do for a Zelda ride?
Oh man,
maybe it won't be a ride, maybe more of an attraction. Like Kostai has this ruins where you get like go in and like investigate
things.
They
don't have that anymore.
Oh, they don't anymore?
Yeah,
I haven't been in a while, so.
Oh, how about the Legends of Zelda Zora's Domain log ride?
Log Fume.
With Prince Sidon?
Yes, yeah. Prince Sidon is the car.
Yeah, with a giant shark boy face right on the front and a hand going to, like, with the
thumbs
flex.
Up.
Thumbs up, yeah. So the Log Flume Legends of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Zora's Domain ride.
Chances are they'll probably have one of those 3D, like you put on the 3D glasses and they just take you on like a simple cart ride around, like the Spider-Man ride, but for Metroid.
Yeah.
So you're fighting Ridley. Actually, there's in the park now, there's a old Men in Black one where you're in a cart and you have guns and you're shooting at the monsters as you go.
Yeah.
And you tally up a score. So maybe you have like an arm cannon on the front of a cart and you swivel around and shoot at...
at the Space Pirates and Ridley.
If they do anything Metroid related at all.
It'll probably be Federation Force.
Yeah, Federation Force ride.
Of course, there'll be a lot of Mario stuff. Do you suppose there's going to be any, I don't know, like Pikmin?
That's Miyamoto's baby.
Yeah, so
probably.
Maybe a children's playground area based on Pikmin.
Man, just a Mario-themed children's playground would be amazing.
Oh, that would be really cool.
Crawling through warp pipes and
yeah,
mushrooms.
Yeah, when I was a little kid, every playground was a Mario-themed playground in my head.
Swing your arms from side to side.
Yeah. In the Prospect Park, they have that big pipe on the ground.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm familiar. Yeah.
You better believe every time I went into that as a kid, I was like, meep, meep, meep.
Okay, so what kind of themed restaurants there are? Because in the Simpsons Land, like, a lot of the buildings just kind of open up into big themed, like, Krusty Burger and the Fisherman's Wharf or whatever.
Game and Watch Chef.
Yeah.
Restaurant.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Yeah.
Burger Time.
Burger Time's not Nintendo.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
That's Data East.
Alright.
Where's the Data East?
It's Data East.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Princess Peach's Bakery.
Yeah. You gotta be able to get a cake from
you
Princess
gotta get
Peach.
A cake from Princess Peach, yes.
I can't think of any, like, Yoshi's Cookies.
Yeah, Yoshi's Cookies. There we go. That's a good one.
That's a deep cut.
Will we have a Dr. Mario, like, first aid tent?
Yeah. That plays in there on a loop. Nonstop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the person inside is slowly losing their mind.
A Yoshi carousel?
Sure.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have to be just Yoshi. Put Mario creatures in a carousel. That'd be cool.
Just have a bunch of Yoshis. Different colored Yoshis. Yeah.
A Yoshi.
Shy Guys.
Lakitu Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Bullet Bill, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Caterpillar.
Yeah, Wiggler.
Oh, I could picture the Bullet Bill, like, you know, that that flying where it kind of raises you up and then turns to the side and you kind of spin around like at an angle kind of thing.
That would work with Donkey Kong, too. Oh, yeah. It'd be, like, vine-themed.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, I was thinking that, like, for, like, a jungle gym or, like, a Donkey Kong minecart ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems like a given, too.
That does seem really easy. Yeah.
Oh, man, I could play some sweet, sweet David Wise Donkey Kong Country music.
There we go.
It.
Yeah. Will we get any stage shows? Like, like weird Mario stage shows? Or like I know this is Disney, but like the...
The Star Wars Experience?
Like the Star Wars Experience or like the Muppet Theater where you just kind of sit and things like the 4D experience where things kind of fly at you.
I wonder if they'll have one of those rides where, like, you watch the movie and the seat moves around.
That would be cool. Yes, that's what I'm thinking. There's got to be an arcade, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be an arcade.
Well, yeah.
But it only has old Nintendo arcade machines in it.
There we go. Yeah. Luigi's Mansion.
Luigi's Haunted Mansion. Yeah.
Actually, that would be even better than... You scrap my idea for the Metroid, like, armbuster thing. You're... In Luigi's Haunted Mansion, and your cart has the Ecto Buster, whatever,
the
2000. The Poltergust, yeah.
Oh, man, could you imagine a Mario Sunshine water area?
There we go, yeah.
With like a big statue of Mario, like, floating above you with, like, flood just spraying water down.
There wouldn't be a section for Animal Crossing, but there is an Isabelle and a villager just wandering around.
Oh, I hope there's a lot of mascots.
Yeah, I hope there are a ton of mascots, too.
Poor souls.
How would you feel about Nintendo mascots, Samantha?
I don't know.
I know you hate mascots.
I'd have to see them first.
See, we're saying that, and all I can think of is the original Smash Brothers TV commercial, where it's just a bunch of people in Nintendo mascot costumes beating the crud out of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
To, what was that song?
I know the
so
song.
So happy together.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I hope it has a Nintendo World store.
Oh yeah.
You'd have to. It would absolutely
every gift shop is going to be a gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be coins just floating in the air for you to grab?
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I imagine there'd be a bunch of street lights like that look like question blocks or something.
Oh, yeah.
The Main Street Parade featuring Wario and Waluigi.
Oh,
just
no.
Just mugging and shaking their fist at the crowds.
Oh, God. Will there be Wario and Waluigi mascots?
I hope so. They would... There was a... To get a Waluigi mascot, they would need someone with a very specific body type. Like, everyone else can be put in a costume. Waluigi would need a... He'd need to be, like, 8 feet tall.
Yeah. No, it'd just be...
And only weigh 100 pounds.
It'd just be a dude in drywall stilts.
Oh, yeah. That's more probably. Oh, that'd be horrifying. The cold, dead eyes of a giant Waluigi face.
No. I wonder if they'll do anything with arms.
I don't know. I don't know. That's a pretty new IP.
Maybe that'd be like in the arcade, like an arms tournament or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, could you imagine like a Bowser's Castle ride?
That'd be cool.
Something like Disney's Soarin' ride where you're flying above California, but it's pilot wings.
Oh, yeah. It's just pilot wings. Yeah.
I think that's too much of a deep cut for people.
What, pilot wings?
People love pilot wings. Okay.
Nobody likes pilot wings.
Okay, not Pilot Wings. How about Star Fox?
Oh, yeah. I think a Star Fox ride of some kind is likely.
Yeah. Probably a roller coaster. A Star Fox roller coaster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do a barrel roll.
But when you strap in, it's just like, good luck.
Oh, yeah. I would have to do that as you were leaving the station.
Good luck.
Oh, man. It would be like a Space Mountain. So it's all indoors.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Or Disaster Transport, God rest
the original
itself.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The actual one, it's gone.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. Like, the way it used to be before they started gutting everything out of it.
I like that one.
Yeah, plus it was the air-conditioned indoor coaster.
Yeah.
Get away from the heat.
Yeah.
So many things they could do.
Oh, yeah. So this is a good idea.
Yeah.
What we're saying is this is a good idea that they did.
For Halloween, they could have, like, a Castlevania event.
That's
Konami.
Oh, worry.
Yeah. Nice try, though.
They can have a Luigi's Mansion event.
Yeah.
the Boo House.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we are actually pretty close to time here, so I think we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. Thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/
Nerd Overload Radio.
Yeah.
That's it. Hey, it's okay. You've been gone a couple weeks. It's cool.
You're rusty.
It's all good. You're rusty. You'll get it next time.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
What thing do I say? You can tweet at us.
we're all rusty.
It's early. You can tweet at us at @nerd_overload, and you can follow our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, so check us out over there. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out. Poopy pants.